Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In today's current political climate, and with the acceleration of social media, in addition to pressures in and out of school, today's youth face a lot of challenges. And yet, with the rise of global youth movements, youth are taking to the streets to fight for issues they care about. There's the Youth-Led March for Our Lives and this year's very first Global Youth Climate Strike. On today's Your Call, we are having a wide-ranging conversation with three Bay Area high school students. We hear a lot about youth in the media, but we rarely hear directly from them. So today we are joined by three students. Hannah Nee is an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose, California. Hannah enjoys reading, debating about public policy on her high school's debate team, and producing her school's news report. And Hannah joins us in studio. Hi, Hannah. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming in.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Matthew Policarpio, an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School. Matthew enjoys biotech and biomedical science and enjoys learning about and using technology, video games, and music. Hi, Matthew. Thank you for coming in.
Hello.
And we're joined by Cho Song Tenzin, an incoming junior at Oakland Technical High School. Cho Song is part of the Student Government Engineering Academy and women's varsity soccer at her high school. Hi, Cho Song. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, we got the idea to do this show because, Hannah, you came by the other day. You're working with the KALW News Department this summer.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking about the fact that we hear so much about youth in the media, but we rarely hear your voices. So just yesterday, I think it was, NPR had a story about this new report coming out of JAMA Pediatrics that looked at teens who spend too much time on social media, who have increased depression rates. And we'll talk about that later in the show. But what are your thoughts about that? Do you feel like you hear the voices of youth in the media?
I think there is a lot of literature coming out about what problems like teens face today and the differences between teens now and teens in the past, but you do seldom hear directly from teenagers themselves. Like, the only medium in which I listen to teenagers is basically YouTube. So, like, that's pretty much it.
So teenagers do have a voice on YouTube.
Yeah.
All right, and we'll talk about that later because I'm curious what kind of voice they have. Are they talking about issues? Is it the influencer?
I think, okay, on YouTube it's mostly entertainment. And actually, teenagers do use Facebook to advertise various events they're putting on. For instance, like recently I went to this climate summit that a bunch of teenagers in like my area put on, and I only heard about that through Facebook and other, like, I guess, social media platforms.
And what are your thoughts on this, Matthew? Do you feel like your voice and the voices of youth are in the media? Do you hear them much?
I mean, personally, I don't really see many like teenagers in media, but that's just my experience. I mean, I see younger adults, which I guess you could count as teens, on like YouTube, but they mainly like to do videos about giving you advice about life and stuff.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see?
I think I just like to see them be more, I like to see the line between adults and their media and teens and their media come together.
What about you, Cho Song? Do you feel like you see or hear media, youth in the media?
I feel like I do. Like what Hannah was saying, on YouTube or on Instagram, on social media, there are like teens who are influencers or are YouTubers or things like that. But I don't really hear much about teens reporting things happening in our community. I mean, there's youth radio, but I feel like there could be more types of radios or outlets like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love youth radio. We're hoping to do a show with them in the coming weeks. So what issues would you like the media to focus on beyond the stories that we do hear fairly regularly about these new reports and how they affect teens? What would you say, Hannah? What issues would you like to hear more about?
I mean, I think there's a growing amount of literature surrounding stress culture. I think in today's, well, specifically where I come from in the Bay Area, it's an incredibly competitive and stressful environment. And I've heard from, like, neighboring schools that there have been increasing visits to psychiatric clinics, and more and more people are having thoughts of committing suicide, which is a really big problem that I don't feel like the media is touching on as much as it could be. So I think that's definitely a really big one for me.
Can we expand on this? Because I've read studies about this, and I met an emergency room physician about a couple months ago, and he said that he sees 3 young people every week come into the emergency room with anxiety, and it's directly connected to social media.
I think social media is definitely one aspect. I think, like, in recent years, people have just been so focused on getting a greater following and getting more likes on each post. And when you see other people, you know, getting like 1,000 followers or like 500 likes on their posts, you feel like, oh, I need to match that amount or else I'm not going to be or else I'm not as cool as them. And so that kind of mindset is hammered into our minds at, I guess, a relatively young age. Like, we've been with Snapchat and Instagram since like middle school. And so since then, more and more people have become obsessed with popularity on social media, and that obsession is turning into something that could potentially be really disastrous on our mentalities.
What would you add, Chosung? How does social media affect you and your group of friends?
Well, I do use Instagram, and I kind of use it to kind of like talk to people or share things with people that I think are interesting or cool. But I know a lot of people who really do want to be quote-unquote influencers. I personally don't really understand it, but I mean, whatever interest, I mean, like, you do you, you know. But I feel like what Hannah's saying, a lot of people do find validation from followers or likes and things like that. I think there was a study that, like, if you get more likes, like, people get, like, the dopamine from that. Mm-hmm. But I also think social media can cause anxiety and, like, kind of depression because you see all these things happening and everyone wants to put off, like, their best side of themselves on social media. So you only see the good usually. So I guess when you, like, constantly see that, you kind of compare yourself to those people and you're like, oh, they're doing so good and, like, what am I doing? And you kind of put yourself down in a way. So
do you talk about these issues in class?
Sometimes in class, not a lot. I usually talk about this with my, like, friends, my, like, group, but I feel like the people I know are aware of it, but I feel like most people or some teens aren't really aware of how it's affecting them, even because I know I spend a lot of time on social media, and I'm sure a lot of teens do, and they don't really know how it's affecting them negatively. But in the long term, it can, I feel like it will cause, like, problems.
Matthew, what would you add? How does social media affect you and your friends?
I mean, personally, I only have, like, 100 Instagram followers, and I'm proud of that. I don't really care about how many likes I get. I had a Snapchat. I ended all my streaks except one with my best friend, but, I mean, he's my best friend.
What does that mean?
Well, he's just...
You ended your streaks?
Like, if you continuously send Snapchats or just photos to someone, you can start a streak. And basically, that's what it is.
Okay.
Streaks are incredibly stressful. So, basically, every single day, if you send a streak to your friend and they send a streak, like, they send a Snapchat back to you, then there's a number besides their, like, username. And so people think that higher streaks or a higher number means, like, I guess you and this person have a really deep connection or something like that.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
No,
that.
But I think it's hilarious because my friends, they'll, like, take 3 pictures every morning of, like, a black screen just so that they can keep that number, like, climbing. It's mm-hmm. not, it doesn't really mean you're interacting with your friends more. I don't know.
I feel like it's a way Snapchat just has people use it more because, I don't know, it's kind of like a motivation for people. They, like, really want to keep that streak. Like, you go, let's say you go camping somewhere and there's no internet, you have your friend do your streaks for you because you really want to keep those streaks.
Wow. Matthew, what do you think about these studies that have come out that find 70% of teens said anxiety and depression are a major problem among their peers because of social media?
I don't think I'm really surprised about that. I've made a lot of friends over social media. I've also lost a lot of friends over social media. I know a lot of friends who are depressed. I even had one person who told me they're going to kill themselves after they graduated from high school.
Oh, wow.
They graduated from high school. They're still here. I also think people can use depression as another way to gain popularity on social media, because you can say you're depressed and you're going to kill yourself. People are going to think you're actually telling the truth. They're going to come and support you, give you likes and follows. Yeah, it's kind of a vicious cycle.
Do you talk about mental health issues in your school?
You can go to our wellness center at our school or nurse if you want to talk about it. Some teachers will take time out of their class to talk about it too. But I've never actually had to go somewhere for mental health.
How does this pressure to spend so much time with a gadget, how does it affect the other parts of your life? Like, do you all spend, or do you and your peers spend a lot of time outside in nature? Do you spend time offline, or do you feel like people are really obsessed and so connected with their phones?
I think without a technological advice, you're kind of forced to go outside and hang out with your friends, because that is basically your only form of communication. But social media has kind of acted like a replacement for these normal things that people used to do. And so now, I don't even know how many times I see my friends every day, like, or every, like, week, you know, because I'm, like, texting them all of the time, and that has been a replacement mechanism for, like, real interaction.
Now, you're conscious of that, so do you talk with them saying, hey, what, instead of text, why don't we all get together?
I wish I was that good of a person, but I don't really do that much. I mean, sometimes we might get together and watch a movie or something like that. But yeah, everyone's just been super busy these days, like trying to get into college and like trying to keep up with their schoolwork and doing standardized test prep, that it's really, really hard to like find time to see each other. I think that's like another big issue amongst today's teens too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Today we are speaking with three Bay Area high school students. We're going to have a wide-ranging conversation. Social media is in the news on a pretty regular basis. There's a lot of studies now looking at how it affects youth. And that is Hannah Nee. She's an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose, California. We're also joined by Matthew Policarpio, an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School. Where's that school?
It's in the Sunset District at 24th and Quintara.
And Chosung Tenzin is an incoming junior at Oakland Technical High School. And if you have any questions for our young guests today, we decided to bring young people on because we hear about youth and the media on a pretty regular basis, but we rarely hear their voices, their views, their opinions. So if you have any questions for them, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Hannah, since you brought up the pressure to do standardized testing and really think about college because you're an incoming senior.
Yeah.
Matthew, you're an incoming junior. Chosang, you're an incoming junior. Can you just talk about that? What is that process like today?
Like, I come from an area where your neighbors are, like, Stanford graduates and business executives, so they basically kind of set the norm for the kind of person you're supposed to be. And so nowadays, in a lot of high schools where I'm from, the amount of stress in there is ridiculously high. I remember this, like, one conversation I overheard with my peers. She was like, oh, I only got 4 hours of sleep last night. And her friend was like, well, I only got three. It's like a competition to be more busy. Like, the more busy you are, I guess, the more successful you'll be in the future. Like, that's kind of the mentality. And people are just overloading themselves with the hardest AP classes they can find. And their parents are paying, like, thousands of dollars on standardized test prep. And they're hiring college counselors because getting into college is, like the only goal kids have these days. And so they're just overloading their schedules, and it's really hard. It's been really hard, for me, to find time to hang out with my friends and do, like, other activities, like going swimming or, like, going to the park with my friends when they, too, are too busy, like, doing adult things, like, doing adult things and, like, taking test prep to get into college. So it's just been, like, really hard in that sense.
What is the makeup of your school, the economics and the diversity?
I think we're like around 40% white, and then we have like, I mean, I wouldn't know specific in diversity, but like in regards to socioeconomic status, we're all like pretty, like we're all pretty affluent. We live in a wealthy neighborhood. We don't have to worry about our safety. And all of our parents, they were the best of the best to be able to live in that kind of area and to afford those kinds of homes. And so they've established this mentality in our heads that we also need to be just as successful as them. We also need to get their grades. We have to go to their schools. And that's the only way we can be successful in life.
So how does that affect you and your friends?
I think we are definitely all stressed out. I remember, like, if someone else is taking 5 AP classes and I have to take 6, it's like that kind of mentality where you can't stop until you get that acceptance letter.
And do you talk to your parents about this? Do you say, is this really it? I mean, to be so stressful, to take 6 AP classes and not spend any time with your friends?
Okay, actually, my mom has been complaining about that to me. She's like, Hannah, you need to, like, take less AP classes next year. You have to, like, do more things with your brother. So I think it's actually, like, a lot of people think that a lot of the stress is from parents, and I think they're a part of it. But it's also, like, when you see your peers doing so many awesome things, you also want to do what they're doing. Even if they're only getting 3 hours of sleep at night, you're willing to go the extra mile and also, like, cure cancer or win this robotics competition just so you can match them. Because if you're not on par with them, or at least, like, or, like, better than them, then what are you really? You're just, like, I guess not as good as everyone else. And that's just, like, kind of, like, sickening.
That is Hannah Nee. She's an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose. We're also joined today by Matthew Policarpio, an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School in the Sunset in San Francisco. What is it like at your school, Abraham? Matthew at Abraham. What are the? Do you find the same pressures, societal pressures, at your school?
I mean, I think a lot of kids at my school, they're just kind of just giving up and want to go to City College or just go to SF State or just somewhere small where you don't need like a 1500 SAT score or do 50 AP classes. You should just go where you want to. Just be happy.
Right. And it's interesting that you say give up, because a lot of community college is amazing, right, for a lot of people. I mean, for many, it's either a stepping stool to another school, or maybe people would like to get into the trades, right? So can you talk more about that, just in terms of, it sounds like at your school, what is the makeup like, do you know, in terms of diversity, the socioeconomics of the students?
Well, I think our school is mostly Asian, and after that would probably come the Spanish and South Americans, then African Americans, and then whites, and then the rest.
And do you find that you and your peers are also dealing with this kind of stress to, you know, get these good grades, take these tests, or is it a little more calm? Because at your school, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but at some schools, it's almost like everybody's trying to get to Stanford because their parents expect that. And other schools, for first-generation students, for example, hey, community college is a great option. SF State is a great option.
Well, I think these schools still are great options, but before we came to this school, we all thought we were going to go to Stanford and Harvard and places like that. Then now we're kind of just, like, giving up. we got back our SAT scores. I think I got about 1,100, 1,000. One of my friends got 980. I know someone who got like a zero on it. I don't even know how that's possible, but they did. And I think we're just kind of like stressed out. We're kind of realizing we're not going to get into schools like Stanford or Harvard. So we're kind of looking towards community college and SF State. I don't really care what college I go to. I just like to go to a college I want to go to and I enjoy. Because college is probably one of the more stressful times in your life. So I just like to have fun.
And also the cost of school, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, has just skyrocketed over the last couple of decades. What about you, Chosong? What is your school like? You're an incoming junior at Oakland Tech High School.
My school is a mix of both. Our school's super diverse. And I don't know. I feel like there's... I don't know. I'm first generation, and a lot of my friends are too, and a lot of them aren't. I've noticed from first generation families, they really like want, or at least my parents really want me to go to college. There are some other kids who I feel like I think two people or someone from my school dropped out to become a rapper or to pursue that kind of career. And then it's a mix because there's like a lot of people who are, like Hannah said, like are taking as many AP classes as they can and are super worried about their SAT scores, their extracurriculars, like they're stressed, they're barely getting sleep. And then there's other people who honestly don't see the point in going to college and they don't know what they want to do. So they feel like it's kind of a waste and they feel like going to community college is a better investment. But, yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
What about the cost of college? How does that affect all of you? How does it affect you, Chosong?
Well, I feel like I would need to have scholarships or do, like, the FAFSA application and see what I get from that. But my sister did go to San Luis Obispo, and she was the first in her family to go to college, so she was kind of like the first lab rat. Like, we tested everything on her. My parents really didn't know anything, but we had like some friends who knew more about the college process, and they helped us out with that. But it was a lot of the FAFSA application and then some scholarship applications, and then she did work study, I think. But yeah, I feel like it's more of reaching out to resources because like right now I'm in College Track. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
But it's like a program in Oakland that helps like lower income students basically, and they kind of get you prepared as first generation or as a lower income student to kind of know the ways to like applying to college because our parents can't help us with that. So there's a lot of programs like that in Oakland that can help you out if you kind of look for it. But yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'd love to get your thoughts about what you're hearing from presidential candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who have proposals to make college tuition free. So basically, it would be college from K through college rather than just K through 12. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. That is Chosong Tenzin, an incoming junior at Oakland Technical School. We're also joined today by Matthew Policarpio, an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School in San Francisco, and Hannah Nee, an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose. And on today's Your Call, we are having a wide-ranging conversation with three Bay Area high school students. We hear a lot about youth in the media, but we rarely hear directly from them, and that is what we're doing on today's show. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. 888-798-8255, toll-free. You can also send an email to yourcall@kalw.org. You may post a comment or question at the show's website, yourcallradio.org, or tweet us at yourcallradio. Senator Cory Booker will be Joshua Johnson's guest on 1A at 11 o'clock, 1/2 hour from now, right after your call here on 91.7 KALW. Young, dumb, broke, high school kid.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will welcome back Rachel Louise Snyder to the show. She's the author of No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. We decided to bring her back to the show because we had so many phone calls and emails when she was on a few weeks ago. And this time around, we are going to talk about anti-violence programs for men, including one called Resolve to Stop the Violence. It began in a San Bruno jail. And she says we cannot expect every program to work the first, second, or even third time, but we cannot stop. So I hope you can join us for that tomorrow. And if you have a guest idea or a show idea, you can send us an email, yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's show with three Bay Area high school students, if you have any questions or comments for them, we'd love to hear from you. We hear so much about youth, whether it's how social media affects them, the climate crisis, and the ongoing strike across the world. But we rarely hear directly from them. So if you have any questions or comments for our guest today, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're a young person and you'd like to chime in just about the issues that you care about, what you think the media should focus more on, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we're joined by Hannah Nee, an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose. Chosung Tenzin is an incoming junior at Oakland Technical School, and Matthew Policarpio is an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School. I want to ask all of you about the plans that we're hearing from presidential candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to basically make college tuition free in the United States and to eliminate student loan debt. And I was thinking about how much college cost when I was your age, and it was much, much cheaper, especially at state schools and at UCs in California. What are your thoughts? Do you follow Chosung? Are you following the presidential debates and what these candidates are saying, especially their policies that would affect young people like you?
I personally am not closely following the presidential debate.
I should say it's way too early anyway. We're even grappling about how to deal with that. But what about these proposals to make tuition free? How would that affect you if you were able to go to college at a public school and you didn't have to worry about how much it costs?
I feel like that sounds great, but I don't know, like, there's a lot of questions I have about it, because I feel like the environment where people are competitive, like Hannah said, to get into those schools, it kind of, has, like, those people are really working really, really hard to get into those schools, and so once they get there, I feel like it might be different from someone who is, like, okay with going to a community college. And then if everything, I don't know, like, if it's, like, free and then it's public. So it's going to be a mix of, like, all different kind of levels, kind of. So I wonder, like, how they address that.
Well, they would still have to get into the school. It's
yeah.
just that they wouldn't have to worry about the high cost.
Oh, I see.
So you'd
okay.
still have to work hard and get in, but your parents could tell you when you're young, hey, as long as you work hard, you can go to a public school, I mean, tuition free. How would that affect you?
That would be great. Because I feel like debt, student loan debt, is like a really big problem.
Right.
Like my sister, she didn't have any. Which is great, because she did work study. So she had to work a job while she was studying in college, which is pretty hard, but she did it, and she didn't have any loan debt. So
oh, wow.
That's like a really good thing, but I feel like a lot of other people don't have it like that because college is really expensive, like crazy expensive, and I don't know. I feel like that would be good.
What do you think about that, Matthew? How would that affect you and your friends?
I think the biggest question I have about this is where are you going to get the money to pay for the free college? And how are you going to fund it?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of plans. You can increase taxes on the rich or, you know, the tax cut that Trump passed that went to mostly the wealthy and corporations. Maybe you can reverse that, and that's about $1 trillion. There are lots of different ways you can pay for it.
But even if it does pass, it does sound really great to go to college for free. That means you just have more money to spend on a house or a car or whatever. But it's still kind of sketchy because how are you going to pay for it? And are colleges going to make it more? Are they going to be more strict in accepting students because they're free? Like, are they only going to take only the like 1600 SAT scores, high achieving students, because they're free now and they want to get a better reputation?
Yeah, I mean, all of these questions we would have to ask, and we're actually going to do a show about this because, you know, in California, colleges used to be free. All UCs were free. And then it changed, I believe it was in the 70s with Ronald Reagan. Is that right, Kevin? I'm asking our board op, Kevin. But yeah, it used to be free here in California. So we're going to do a show about this. What are your thoughts about that, Hannah?
I think it's one of those proposals where it seems too good to be true. Like, I completely agree with what Matthew just said. The proposal just essentially says that we are making college free, but it doesn't mean that we're making it more accessible to lower income communities. And I feel like if it is free, yes, maybe it could increase incentive for lower income students to try harder in school. But I think more affluent students are just going to be pushing themselves to get into these like free schools because like I come from like a pretty like good background, but my parents are still worried about college. And if college was free for every person, then like they would just push me more to like go after these like UC schools, and I think that would actually make it more difficult for lower income students to go in. Like, I know in certain countries in Europe, they have free college, and you can see that, like, the results of, like, what the students are accomplishing years after and the reduction of income inequality is actually worse than in the United States.
Where did you read that?
It was from some country in Europe. We had like a brief debate topic on this. I actually don't remember, but like the statistics are out there if you're like curious and you want to like look into this.
Yeah, I would definitely like to look into that. I mean, speaking of inequality, I mean, when we talk about college in the Bay Area, the inequality here is just so huge. The homeless crisis, the affordability crisis. Yesterday on the front page of the Chronicle, I read that supervisors just approved a plan to open a parking lot in San Francisco for people who live in their cars. And, you know, every day I watch clips about San Jose, San Mateo, people who are living in their RVs. And I wonder, how does that affect youth, the homelessness and the inequality that you see on a regular basis in the Bay Area? Cho-Sang, how does it affect you?
Are you talking about
homelessness, inequality, just the
inequality in schools or inequality
in the wider Bay Area? But if you'd like to talk about it in the schools, that would also be interesting.
Well, I feel like in terms of schooling, I notice it a lot at my school, in terms of kind of the classes and who are in the classes, because I remember freshman year, the classes were super diverse and everyone was taking kind of like the basic bio class or like English history. And then sophomore year, you get to choose to take honors or like AP courses. And we have a program at Oakland Tech called Paideia, which is like an accelerated history and English program. And I feel like in that program, it's mostly Asian and white kids. And then I feel like it's just really segregated. Like, the classes I notice are very segregated, and in those classes, there I feel like we have better teachers in a way. Like, we're getting a better education compared to the kind of regular English and history classes. And I'm not really sure how the, like, process of signing up is, but I know that, like, I just noticed that big change from freshman to sophomore year, and I'm probably going to notice it again junior year because I'm taking AP and honors classes as well. And those students who are in those classes get recommended to take the next class. So without a recommendation, you can't really, it's harder for you to get into that class because all those kids who already taken it are probably going to take it again. So it's kind of a cycle where those people just get left out. Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like that's unfair and it's a problem in our school. Hmm. But yeah.
So in the segregation that you see in the classrooms, does that also spill out into the social life that you see at school?
Definitely. I feel like, I don't know. There's always, you can, if you go to Oakland Tech at lunch, you can just see clearly, like, people are pretty segregated. There's, like, I don't know, like, everyone has their own groups, and I feel like there are, I don't want to, okay, so, like, generally, in the front of the school, let's say, like, during lunchtime in the grass, are, like, the white kids or, like, the Asian kids, and then, like, inside the school where, like, the soccer field is or, like, the black kids and, like, all that stuff. Like, it's super, I don't know. I notice it a lot, but sometimes we have, okay, well, we have academies, and those are sometimes more, like, diverse, but it also depends on the academy. It's just very complicated because, like, I'm in the engineering academy and it's also mostly white and Asian because I feel like, well, that academy is more funded. And then there's race policy and law, which is new, and it isn't as funded and it's more diverse.
What do you mean as funded? What does that mean?
Well, our engineering academy gets more money because we need more, like, resources and stuff in terms of, like, computer software like AutoCAD or, let's say, like, rulers or certain lead or pencils or drawing boards and things like that.
Do you have conversations about these issues at school around race?
We did freshman year. We talked a lot about it, and they're really interesting conversations because they're super different perspectives in the classroom. But sophomore year, not so much. And I feel like it couldn't have happened, like, as well as freshman year because there weren't a lot of diverse perspectives, and there wasn't a diverse economic and racial, like, group in that classroom. So the perspectives were mostly similar. So you kind of weren't learning different ideas or, like, learning from different people.
Hmm. What about at your school, Matthew?
I think you can kind of agree with Chosung. We have four academies. There's Digital Media Design, Green Academy, Business, and some other one that I mentioned, four. Okay, yeah, four. I think I can say that about 99% are all Asian students. And some of them are mixed, and there's a lot of, and you see a lot of stereotypes happening at our school. It's mostly the African American kids that are failing classes, and the South American Mexican kids, don't mean to be racist, they're failing classes. There's a lot of segregation. Like, all the Asian kids hang out together, all the white kids hang out together, everyone is kind of their own racial group from what I see.
Do you talk about these issues at school?
I've had teachers that like to talk about it. It was my Spanish teacher who I had in freshman and sophomore year for Spanish 2 in honors. He liked to talk about race and stuff and have casual conversations. about different topics like race and politics and whatever. But otherwise, not really.
Does it bother you both that things are so segregated at your schools?
Yeah, it does. Because, I don't know, I feel like during freshman year, I talked to a different range of people, and I feel like I learned more in terms of from those people and their lives. But, like, sophomore year, once you're in an academy, you have classes with those people in your academy. So you're kind of stuck. You're not stuck with those people, but, like, you see those people in all of your classes, so you're kind of cut off from the rest of the school in a way, unless you do, like, extracurriculars or kind of put yourself, like, in those groups. So I feel like in the classroom, like, seeing those people or, like, having a diverse classroom is important because you get different perspectives and you get to connect with different people instead of seeing the same people in, like, your classes every day. But, yeah.
What about at your school, Hannah?
Yeah, segregation definitely exists. But I think the reason why you see, like, the Asians hanging out together and, like, the Caucasian people hanging out together is because we all have cultural similarities, and so I think we relate to each other on a similar level. But also you see, like, people of similar socioeconomic status, like, group together, because I think, like, me and my friends, we all participate in speech and debate, and speech and debate is an activity that, like, requires a lot of money from your, like, family, because you have to, it, like, costs a lot of money to go to specific tournaments. You have to go to speech and debate camp. And so because I've spent so much time in speech and debate, a lot of my friends come from speech and debate. And so I think as a result, the people I sit with at lunch are, like, very similar to me, and we have similar backgrounds.
Well, we have a caller who'd like to comment on this. Let's go to Leslie in Berkeley. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I just wanted to comment because I heard the young woman speaking about the AP classes and how there was a kind of segregation. I had gone to high school in East Palo Alto when in the 70s, early 70s. And I had come from a more affluent neighborhood. It was a volunteer integration program. And, you know, we were all in the same classes together. There was no AP classes. Everybody was mixed. It was a great cultural experience for me coming from a different area and having that kind of mix of kids in the classroom. The expectations for all the kids were all the same in terms of the teachers. And, you know, the thing that I found interesting is years later, that school has been closed, and I asked somebody, you know, where all those kids went, you know, from East Palo Alto, and they told me that they all went to Menlo Atherton, but now they have this AP class system, and I was kind of appalled because that was, again, a kind of segregation, that those kids weren't all together. And, you know, I know kids now have just gotten out of high school and are in college, and a lot of them are have more educated parents or more from affluent neighborhoods, and they're all had taken AP classes. But I think it's really a loss for the kids who aren't mixing together, because the cultural sort of knowledge that I learned from that experience has really informed my life. And, you know, it was more important than what I could learn in a book. And so I'm kind of, you know, I think there is a problem. And when the young woman speaking talked about segregation, and then you hang out with kids in the, you know, the lunch area because they're kids you know from your class, so that increases the segregation. And I think that really needs to be looked at. I think people need to revisit that issue.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Leslie. What are your thoughts on that, Cho Song?
I agree, because I do see that in the system at our schools. I don't know. I feel like it's just most of the AP classes are white or white and Asian, and then the regular classes are not. And it kind of leaves out. I feel like it's important to have a really diverse classroom when it comes to English, especially in history, because everyone has different experiences and backgrounds, and I don't know. interesting stories because, like, my parents were immigrants from Tibet, and I feel like if we were talking about, let's say, like, some part of in world history or something, it'd be interesting for maybe someone didn't know about my history or I didn't know about their history. But most of these people in, most of these students in these AP and honors classes, their parents are, they went to, like, college already, and they kind of are learning out of a book, as I am, so we don't really have conversations about each other, which I think is important because, I don't know, I feel like it's interesting to learn about history and also your connection to history.
Especially in today's political climate, right? I mean, do these conversations, like you say, do you feel like you're able to really talk about these issues? Like, talking to someone about your parents from Tibet, whereas someone would say, oh, she's Asian, no idea where she's from, right? Do you feel like in your, or in your classes, are you able to sometimes bring up some of these issues? Does it go beyond the book and the testing?
Well, are you talking about segregation in classrooms?
Just in terms of what you're learning and what you talk about in your classes.
Well, specifically in my classes that I've experienced, we don't, I feel like we do talk a little bit about it, but it's not like, it's not a whole discussion. It's kind of just like small talk, like, oh yeah, like my parents, they immigrated here, and that's like, oh, that's cool. And then it's like, oh, like, what are, I don't know, like, we learned about, I think China, and I kind of talked a little bit about, like, how that might have related to some of the cultural things that I do in, like, Tibetan culture and, like, the countries that surround it and how that, like, affected kind of the culture of Tibet. But it didn't really go into depth of, like, what I would have liked to talk about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like it just, like, touched the surface.
Yeah. What about at your school, Matthew? Are you able to bring in, do you have conversations in your classes about issues that really are interesting to you outside of the textbook and testing?
Not really.
Not at all?
I can't really remember the last time we've had conversations like that.
Wow. What would you like to talk about in class that you're not talking about?
I think I'd like to talk about societal problems. I'd like to learn more about, I don't want to really learn more about what's in the textbook. I like to learn more about what's in the what's the people think about media and what kind of spreads across from person to person. I think I'd like to learn more about different cultures of people, not to just classify them as like Asian, Mexican, stuff like that. Because my mom's from a small country called Slovenia. It used to be part of Yugoslavia. I can guarantee you, you go out and ask anyone on the street if they know what Slovenia is, they're not going to know what it is. They're probably going to confuse it with Slovakia. So it's important to, it's just important to know a lot about culture and know more, like, what's not in the textbook, know more about people, what they think.
What about you, Hannah?
So I go to a Catholic school, and so activism and social justice is a really big part of our identity. And so all the students are required to take this course called social justice. And within that class, you learn about institutional racism, structural violence in many areas of the many areas of the world, like racism, and like blood diamonds, and like conflict minerals, a bunch of things like that. And so I guess in that sense, our school is doing a lot more to increase discourse slash awareness about issues across the globe to make us more, I guess, like caring citizens.
Chosung and Matthew, maybe you can propose an idea around a class around social justice or a class around, you know, let's share. Who are we? Where do we come from? Especially at a time when things are so ugly in terms of what we're hearing from the White House. I think that would be really interesting. We only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to ask you quickly about climate change. Is this something that you all talk about in class and in school?
Yeah, definitely. At my school, I took AP Environmental Science. A lot of schools have that too, but we also have a Seas Club, and then on top of that, we have math and science independent research. So within that, a lot of my peers have been doing crazy research projects to kind of deal with climate change. Like my best friend, she found a way to decompose plastic at a rate 6,000 times faster than conventional methods to deal with climate change. So it's just really, really crazy and awesome to see a bunch of people you know that are your age doing some real impact to deal with this issue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'll have to get information from you after the show about that. What about you, Matthew? Do you talk about climate change at your school?
I guess you can say we talk about climate change because I've taken a lot of biotechnology classes. Not at my school, but at City College, I took a class where we had presenters come in and talk about what they do. I've heard a lot of people talking about ways they're trying to prevent greenhouse gases. They're doing research on gas and trying to make it better, trying to find new sources of fuel like plants. Turning plants into, I forgot what the term was, but it's another alternative to gas.
Biofuels?
No, that's not it. I don't know.
What about you, Chosan?
We do talk about it in our science classes, but besides that, we don't really touch on the topic.
Have you talked about the climate strikes that are happening around the world, the youth-led climate strikes?
Yeah. Our students, I feel like most of our students are aware of the topic. We don't really talk about it in school, but we do talk about it outside of school, I guess. I feel like we talk about it, but just not in school.
Not as much as you'd like.
Yeah.
That is Chosung Tenzin, an incoming junior at Oakland Technical High School. Hannah Nee is an incoming senior at Presentation High School in San Jose. And Matthew Policarpio is an incoming senior at Abraham Lincoln High School in San Francisco. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This is great.
Thank you. And thanks to Leah Cesarin for producing today's show and doing our social media. Thanks to Kevin Vance, our studio engineer. And I hope you can join us tomorrow when we welcome back Rachel Louise Snyder, author of No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.